Let's take our Bibles this morning, open to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. And obviously, I was expecting a different preacher this morning, and so I was just thinking last night as I got the news about what maybe I could preach this morning, and Lord just kind of led me this passage, and man, I'm telling you, if you missed the Sunday school hour with Brother Bradley Edmondson, I'd really encourage you to go back. You can go online and listen to it, and just a powerful lesson from the Word of God. But this morning, I just, you know, we think of missions, and many times we think, you know, missions is, you know, international, right? It's Mexico, it's Mozambique, it's Uganda, it's Argentina, it's China, it's Russia, it's all these different places. And it is. There's no doubt that missions is needed in all those places. But this morning, I just want to give you some, I just want to talk about practical missions. Just some practical things that I think we can see here in this passage dealing with missions. I want you to open to the book of Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter number 10, and we're going to read verses 30 down to verse number 37. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 down to verse number 37. We're going to read it aloud together. If you don't have a Bible with you, the words will be on the screen this morning. But Luke chapter 10, and let's read verses 30 down to verse number 37 aloud together. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise." Father, I pray that you would just bless this morning. Lord, I do pray for Dr. Gibbs, and Lord, it's unfortunate that the sickness came upon him, but I pray that you would just touch his body. Lord, just help him to get better through this. Lord, I pray that you would just bless now as we open your word. Thank you for the wonderful singing this morning, the special music, the choir. Lord, just the congregational singing. Lord, just helping our hearts to be focused on what you have for us this morning, just drawing us closer to you. And Lord, I pray that as we open your word now, that you would just speak to our hearts. And Lord, just in this area of missions, Lord, that each one of us would desire to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Not as a church, not as a family, not as a husband and wife, but Lord, individually, Lord, what would you have me to do in this area of missions? And so, Father, I pray that you just work in our hearts this week. Lord, thank you for, Lord, being able to pastor a church that loves missions and loves missionaries and is so willing to give of themselves, Lord, in this area of missions. But, Father, I pray that you just help us to look to you this morning, Lord, that we might be able to do more for the cause of Jesus Christ. Lord, we believe that your return is even sooner, Lord, than we could even imagine. And so, Father, as we look forward to your return, I pray that you would help us just a desire to do more for you in the time that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is not an unfamiliar passage of Scripture, I would think. I think most people would know this passage of Scripture, of the parable of the Good Samaritan. And obviously, we understand when you look at the passage here, there was a man that came to Jesus and he was trying to tempt Jesus, right? Can I tell you, that's not a good thing to do, right? You don't want to try to tempt Jesus. You don't want to try to trip up Jesus. But he basically asked a very important question back in verse number 25. He says, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus replies in verse 26, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And of course, he's talking to a lawyer, right? And again, we're not talking about a lawyer like what we think of a lawyer today. A lawyer in that day and age was one who knew the law of Moses, right? Not the laws of the land and, you know, all the IRS code and that type of lawyer. No, we're talking about a lawyer that knew the laws of Moses, right? So he's asking Jesus, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, what's written in the law? What's written in the law of Moses? You're a lawyer. You should know what's written in the law of Moses. And so this is the response of the man, verse 27. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he, Jesus, said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. So the man says, well, the law says we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus said, that's right. If you can do that, you can have eternal life. Give it a try. See if you can love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself, right? Guess what happens? You know what we find? We fail. Every single one of us fails in that area. But this man, trying to make himself look good, notice what he says. He says, but he, willing to justify himself. Can I tell you, there's a second wrong thing that he did. Number one, he went and tried to tempt Jesus. Number two, he tried to justify himself. When you try to justify yourself before God, guess what you're going to find? You fail. You fail. He tries to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Isn't that interesting? He totally missed the first part, didn't he? Because he thought he had fulfilled the first part. He thought, hey, I've got the first part taken care of. I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might. He said, I got the first part taken care of. But you know, that second part, you know, okay. So who is my neighbor, right? And of course, Jesus uses the parable of the Good Samaritan to help this man understand, first of all, he did not love the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and all of his mind. Because if you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, can I tell you something? You won't have to ask who is your neighbor. You don't have to ask that question. And Jesus gives a parable. Of course, a parable, we know, is what the Bible tells us. It's an earthly story that Jesus uses to teach a spiritual principle. And this is the passage that we're looking at this morning, and I believe we can see some practical things of missions in this passage this morning. Now, again, let me just say, first of all, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is the most important thing. That's the most important thing that Jesus is trying to teach this man. Your relationship with God needs to be right first. You need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. He doesn't say, hey, if you get baptized or if you join a church or do all these different things, keep the commandments, all this. No, he says you've got to have your relationship with God right. And that only comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then really missions doesn't really mean anything to you, because the first thing you need to understand is that God sent His Son to die for you. Jesus Christ really is the greatest missionary. He left His home in heaven and came to this earth to bleed and die on an old rugged cross to pay for your sin and for my sin. That's what Jesus Christ did. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, friend, we'd love to take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved, how you can have your sins forgiven and know that heaven is your home. But I want you to look at a couple things here this morning. We think about practical missions. Practical missions. Notice, first of all, the condition of man. The condition of man. And there are three types of the conditions of man that we're going to see in this passage. Notice verse number 30. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. So here's the first condition of man. We find an injured man. There's an injured man that we find. This man, his basically, we can see a life of ruin and death. Right? This man is a life of ruin and death. Think about this. He's traveling alone, which was not a thing that you should do during that time, and especially on this road. This 13-kilometer road from Jerusalem to Jericho was called the Way of Blood. Let me tell you something. A lot of street names will tell you something about that street, okay? All right? It tells you something about that area, you know? I remember I was driving, First time I kind of came to Ohio, I was driving around and, came to Main Street. You know what that tells me? This is the main road in town, right? Now, I will be honest, there are a few that I'm not exactly sure what they're trying to tell me, you know. I think it's between here and Farmersville, there's Chicken Bristle Road. Not really sure what that one's trying to tell me, right? I'm not really sure, but there's Chicken Bristle Road, right? But if you have a road called the Way of Blood, that ought to be a warning to you, right? Okay, it's called this for a reason, right? Because on this road between Jerusalem and Jericho, it was known for thieves. It was known for these people who had basically been laid off from building the temple there, and they were just kind of laid off, and they didn't have anything to do. And so they took this stretch of road, and it became their area of thievery, and they would rob people and beat people and kill people and take whatever they had. And so this man is traveling alone on a road called the Way of Blood. It was foolish to travel alone on a road that was known for danger. And of course, we find what happened. As he's on this road, Jesus says that he fell among thieves, and they stripped him of his raiment. They wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. So they took everything that this man had. This man had obviously had clothes, maybe he had some money, whatever he had. He took everything he had, and they left him for dead. Left him dead. May I say this morning, there are many, many men and women like this today. They're traveling down a road called the Way of Blood, not realizing the dangers that lie in wait. There are many men and women today, they've been hurt on this road. They've been disappointed on this road. They've been left wondering if there's a purpose and a reason for this life. You see, this road called the Way of Blood is also a road that we would call simply life. And there are many that travel this road that for whatever reason, for whatever circumstances happen in their life, they're hurt and they're broken and they're bruised and they're injured, and they're laying left there half dead. We see the injured man. Notice, secondly, we find the indifferent men. In verse number 31 and 32, the Bible says, "And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side." Notice the indifferent men. These indifferent men, first of all, we find a priest here in verse number 31. The priest saw him, it says in verse number 31, "By chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side." So imagine, this man is lying on this road half dead. He's been beaten, he's been left for dead, he's been stripped and robbed, and he's lying there half dead. And down this road comes a priest. And a priest, well, obviously if you understand, a priest was one of the religious leaders of the day in Jerusalem. He's one of the religious leaders, and no doubt here's a man that should, when he sees someone in need or sees someone that is hurting or whatever, this is the one that should have some answers for life. But as the priest begins to walk down this road and sees the man, the Bible says that he passed on the other side. He wouldn't even come near this man. This priest was more concerned about his religion than he was the needs of this man. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, as a priest, no doubt he was probably going to Jerusalem to perform his priestly duties. And if you understand the law, you'll find out that if a priest was to touch a man that was unclean, as this man was, because not only was he beaten, not only was he left for dead and bloody, but he was also a Samaritan. And the Samaritans and the Jews did not get along. The Samaritans were considered even worse than the Gentiles. And so for the priest to even come near this man, to even try to touch him and help him, he would now be considered unclean. And guess what? Because he's considered unclean, he wouldn't be able to perform his religious duties. And so what does he do? The Bible says he passes by on the other side. But there was another man that came, a Levite. And the Bible says, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So at least, I mean, the priest goes by and here comes a Levite. Now, of course, we know that the priests were from the tribe of Levi, but not every Levite was a priest. But many of the Levites were able to help in the work of the temple. They were there to help in many of those things. God said that the Levites, their inheritance was the temple. Through the Levites, you would have the priests and things, but many Levites were there just to help in the work of the temple. And so here comes this Levite, and here's this man over here. He's been beaten, he's been injured, he's been robbed, he's left half dead, and a Levite comes, and the Levite sees him, but at least the Levite actually comes a little bit closer to him. The Levite gets a little bit closer, sees the man, and just keeps on walking. You see, just as the priest was more concerned about his religious duties than he was of a man in need, the Levite was more concerned about his work than the needs of this man. The Levite could have said, hey, you know what? If I stop and help this man, it's going to take away from my work that I'm supposed to be doing at the temple. And here's what I believe is the saddest part about these indifferent men is both of these men were supposed to be representatives of God. The priest was supposed to be a representative of God. He was the one that would go in and offer the sacrifices and maybe offer the incense. And the Levites were the ones that would come and help do the work around the temple. I mean, these were the ones that if anybody should have wanted somebody to know about God and to take care of somebody's needs, it would have been these two men. What do we find? These two men were very indifferent to the needs of this man. The problem was they left their God at the temple. The priest and the Levite were supposed to be worshipers of God, but they left their God at the temple. And I'm afraid that this is how many Christians are living their lives today. We leave our God at church. We leave our God at church. You see, as Christians, we are to be the ones that know about Jesus Christ. And if we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we know what Jesus has done in our life. And we can look back and see, hey, I can see the road that I was on before. It was the road of death. And I was heading to a devil's hell. But then Jesus Christ found me and he saved me and he put me on the road of life. And now I've got a new life in Jesus Christ. And we can think back and say, man, praise God what Jesus did. And we know what Jesus has done in our life. We know the power that he has. But then when we see others, when we see those that are injured and those that are downtrodden and those that have hurt in their lives and their depressing things, what do we do? What do we do for them? Do we do like the priest and the Levite? We see them and we just kind of keep on walking. We see that they're hurting. We see that they have needs and things, but instead we just keep on walking. What happens? We leave our God in church. We come and we worship God and we sing, oh, how I love Jesus. And we have a Bible and we say we believe the Word of God and we know the Bible, that the Word of God has power and God can change people's lives. But when it comes time to putting it into practice, we've left our God at church. Just like the priest and the Levite, they left their God at the temple. We leave our God at church and we become indifferent toward those we encounter on a daily basis. You see, we have to understand the condition of man. Friend, if you're not saved, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're like that man. You say, well, I haven't been robbed and I haven't beat up. No, maybe not physically, but spiritually, that's who you are. You're like that man on the road, dying. And friend, if you don't come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible tells us that there is a literal place called hell. That those that reject Jesus Christ, that do not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that if they die with their sins, they will go to hell. But here's the wonderful thing about it is that Jesus Christ does not want a single person to die and go to hell. By the way, do you understand? That's why there are missionaries in our conference this week. Because God doesn't want those in Mexico to die and go to hell. God doesn't want those in Mozambique to die and go to hell. God doesn't want those in Argentina and Uganda and South Africa. God doesn't want any of them to die and go to hell. And so what does God do? God speaks to people's heart and says, hey, I want you to go so that they can tell, you can tell them about Jesus Christ. Hey, there are those that are injured and they're hurting and they're broken, and he says, I want you to go to them. But can I say, we have to be very careful that we don't become like those indifferent. We'll hear, even this week, we'll hear about the stories of what God is doing in Mexico. We'll hear about people in need in Mexico and Mozambique and through the medical missions, people all around the world. We'll hear about the need, but if we're not careful, you know what happens? We become indifferent. Well, that's the missionary's job. That's their job. They're supposed to take the gospel to them. That's the pastor's job, right? That's their job. Wait a minute. No. Don't become like the priest and the Levite. Don't become indifferent. Because there's a third man here. Notice what we find. In verse number 33, it says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. So think about this. Here we have the Samaritan man. And the Samaritan comes, and he sees this Jewish man that has been lying there. He's been beaten. He's been left for dead. And we see a Samaritan man comes, and he gets involved. He gets involved in this man's life. He gets involved in this man's problems. This Samaritan man, again, this man that the Jews would have hated, he sees a Jew lying there and he says, I'm going to get involved in his life. Can I tell you, you know why many times we don't want to get involved in people's, we don't want to take time to show compassion to other people? Because it takes getting involved in their life. And we want to keep our distance, we want to keep away from them. But think about what it says here. Notice, it says, when he was come, where he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. I think I need to make a correction. I think before, I may have said the man down was a Samaritan. I apologize. He was not the Samaritan. He was a Jew. The Samaritan is this man here. But he says, he saw him. Notice, he said, he came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. So think about this. He sees the man, he comes by, and he doesn't just look at him and go on. The Bible says he had compassion on him. Now I want you to notice his compassion. Notice his compassion. There's several things that we see about his compassion. First of all, we see it was unconditional. It was unconditional. Again, it was a Samaritan helping a Jew. But here's the thing. He didn't see a Jew. He simply saw a man in need. You know what many times our problem is we try to differentiate. We try to put distinctions on people. Well, that's a rich man. That's a doctor. That's a nurse. You know, surely we can't tell them about Jesus Christ. Or that's somebody who's really poor. We can't share the gospel with them. We try to put distinctions on people. But you know what? This man simply saw a man that was in need. Instead of putting distinctions on people, we just need to see that there are people in need of Jesus Christ. He saw his compassion was unconditional. Didn't matter who it was. Didn't matter where he was. He was going to show compassion. Notice it was also personal. It was personal. Look in verse number 34. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Notice he goes to him. He doesn't just leave him there, but he actually, the Bible says that he binds up his wounds. Now, I don't know about you, but if you put yourself in this situation, here's a man traveling this road. I don't think in those days they just carried around first aid kits. You know, I don't think they had first aid kits. So he sees this man, and he sees that he's been beaten, he's bloodied, he's cut, he's dying. Where does he get the rags to bind up his wounds? You know, there's no CVS that you can go to and get some gauze, right? You know what happens? He takes his own clothes and begins to tear up his own clothes. He's tearing up his own clothes and binding up this man's wound. He takes his oil and his wine, and what does he do? He pours them into this man's wounds. He's trying to ease his pains. He's reaching out personally to this man. He's giving of his own possessions. He's personally trying to take what he has and meet the needs of this man that is dying. The Bible says he even, after he binds up his wounds and pours in the oil and wine, that he lifts him up and he set him on his own beast. I don't know if it was a horse or a donkey or whatever, but whatever this man was riding upon, instead, now he chooses discomfort to help this man. Instead of now the Samaritan riding on this horse or donkey, whatever, now he puts this other man on there after he's torn up his own clothes and used his own possessions to help this man, puts him on this animal, and now begins moving with this man to the closest place he can find, which would be an inn. There was a personal desire to help this man. His compassion was personal. He provides a room for him, if you look there. If you see in at the end of verse number 34, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. So he brings him to this inn. He provides for his needs. He puts him there and even takes personal care of him. He says he took care of him. Whatever else was needed, there was a personal care that this man had for this man that was dying. Again, I think one of the things that we really, in America, we have kind of disassociated ourselves, right? We kind of have this bubble around us, and we say, hey, this is my space, right? This is my space, you stay out of my space, right? This is kind of what my life is like, you stay out of it. And anything that disrupts my life, anything that disrupts my space, guess what? Back off. And I believe we miss so many opportunities to share Jesus Christ because we're not willing to allow our compassion to be personal in the lives of other people. This man had compassion. You know what we find many times throughout Scripture that the Bible says about Jesus? He was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. This man of the three that were passing by was the only one that had compassion. He was willing to show love to his neighbor. He was willing to put love into action. Look, we've already read the story. You understand what he says. Jesus says, which one of these was neighbor? Which one of these was the real neighbor? And what does he say? It was the man that showed mercy, the man that showed compassion. Could I maybe change the statement a little bit? And please understand, I'm not trying to change the word of God. Don't misunderstand what I'm doing. But I wonder if we were to say, if we were to change that and say, which one of these was the real Christian? Which one of these was a real Christian? Is it somebody just going through religious motions? Is that the one that's a real Christian? Is it somebody that it's so busy with work and life and everything that we can't stop, we can't help anybody? Or is it the person that's willing to show compassion and to get personally involved in the hurt and the life of someone else? You see, we like to say, oh, I'm a Christian. Look, if you're saved, it's, you know, we can say, hey, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. But here's the thing. If we say we love Jesus, wait a minute, do we love our neighbor? You see, we can be just as guilty as this man saying, oh, I love the Lord. I mean, look, I'm at church on Sunday. Great. I'm glad you're at church on Sunday. But what are you going to do tomorrow at work? You say, I thought this was a missions conference. Aren't you supposed to be talking about the missionaries and things? I am. You. Oh, look, the missionaries, they're gonna have plenty of time to talk about foreign missions and things, but wait a minute. If you and I don't understand what God is requiring of us and expecting of us, we're going to miss everything about the conference. You see, it was the man that was willing to show personal compassion. He was willing to take of what was his own. And notice, not only was it unconditional and personal, but it was continual. Look in verse number 35. And on the morrow when he departed, so here's the Samaritan, he's leaving the inn. The Bible says he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now, if you understand, in the Bible times, it's believed that 2 pence was about 2 days' worth of wages. A pence was about a day's wage. So here's this man. He's getting ready to leave. He's like, I've got to continue on my journey. But he says, I want to make sure that this man gets taken care of. And he takes 2 days' wages and gives it to the keeper there at the inn. He says, hey, make sure you take care of him. Make sure he gets some soup and make sure he's got some clean clothes. And if the bandages need to be changed, make sure you change the bandages. He's like, here's enough to take. You take care of him. And by the way, if it requires anything more than what I've given you, he said, I am coming back. And when I come back, I'll make sure to take care of whatever else you do. You see, there was a continual compassion. It wasn't just, okay, hey, I bound up his wounds and things and I just left him on the road. No, it wasn't like, okay, I bound up his wounds and I poured in oil, put him on my beast, took him to an inn, left him there. Okay, hey, I did my part. No, there was a continual desire to help to meet this man's needs until it was fully met. You understand, as a Christian, our desire ought to be to try to help people until their need is fully met. I'm not talking about physical, and thank God, like Brother Bradley's talking about, they can go and they can use medical things and surgeries and dental and eyeglasses and things to help meet people's physical needs. But can I tell you something? That's not the greatest need they have. The greatest need that a person has is to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Are we willing to continue to show compassion? Are we willing to continue to be that neighbor until their greatest need is met? It's one thing just to show compassion one day. It's one thing when you're at work and that person's there and maybe you try to show compassion, maybe you try to pray for them or whatever, but are you willing to continue to do it and continue to do it and continue to do it and continue to do it until their greatest need has been met? He said, look, you take care of him and I'm going to pay for it. And when I come back, if there's anything else, hey, you take care of him until his greatest need is met, until he gets better. Jesus says, hey, you know what? Understand, as Christians, our job is not to just walk by. Yes, we can be thankful that we're saved, and we can be thankful that we know Jesus as our Savior. But think about the theme for it. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. You understand that one day God says every person is going to bow before Jesus. The problem is not every person that bows is going to be saved. Not every person that bows at the foot of Jesus is going to be saved. It is only those who put their faith and trust in Christ. And this is why he says, hey, as Christians, it's our responsibility to do all that we can to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. Look, that's why we're willing to sacrifice and to send missionaries and to say, hey, you know, I'll do without going out to eat maybe. I'll do without a little bit of some of my hobbies or whatever, because if that's what it takes to get the gospels to Mozambique or to Mexico or to get somebody a pair of glasses that they'll come and they can see and then hear the gospel and be saved, hey, I'm willing to sacrifice some of those things. It's got to be personal. He was willing to sacrifice his things. His clothes, his oil, his comforts, his money. He was willing to sacrifice those things for someone else. And this is what's really amazing. For someone else that would actually have hated him. He wasn't sacrificing for somebody that would show love to him. He wasn't sacrificing for somebody who had done something good to him. He was sacrificing for somebody who probably would have spit on him. As a Samaritan, the Jews did not like them. But yet he was willing to sacrifice personally to help to try to meet this man's needs. Now, I want you to think of this, right? There's the condition of man. We see his compassion. But notice, I want you to notice the last thing here. This is the last thing, and then we'll be done. Notice the command that Jesus gives. In verse number 37, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. So he says, which one was the neighbor? He that showed mercy. Then said Jesus unto him, here's what he says. What? Go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. He says, you really want to show that you're a neighbor? You go and do the exact same thing. You really want to show that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that you're a Christian? It's not just about saying it. It's not just about coming to church. It's not just about having a Bible. No, no. Are you willing to see that there are those that are injured, that there are those that are broken, that there are those that are on they're on this road of life, but the problem is that they're on their way to hell if they don't put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ? And we have the answer. Can I tell you something? Religion didn't help. Rituals didn't help. These men, they didn't help. It was a man that actually saw a need and had compassion. And I tell you, you're going to hear about Mozambique, and you're going to hear about Mexico, and you're going to hear about the medical missions and things. You're going to hear about all these things. But the question is, will you allow God to speak to your heart to show compassion? Will you see that there is a world? Look, I mean, we have flags all over that represent countries all over the world, and there are still countries today where there are no missionaries preaching the gospel. Who's going to go? You think about Mozambique, I believe, if I remember correctly from last year, and I think, Brother Barton, you can correct me, I believe Mozambique is about 35 million, something like that, about 35 million. And right now, we know there was, maybe less than 5 missionaries? 35 million people in Mozambique, less than 5 missionaries. You understand that? You see the need that's there, right? You're going to tell me that those people aren't broken, they're not injured, they're not desperate like this man was that was beaten on that road? Who's going to show compassion? Who's going to show compassion? Mexico, over 150 million people in Mexico. And look, thank the Lord, there's missionaries there, but can I tell you, there's a need for more. You take Africa as a continent, 1 billion people in Africa. You take India, 1 billion people. China, 1 billion people. I mean, there are literally billions upon billions of people all over the world that are still in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What are we going to do? Just walk by? We're just going to keep walking? We're just going to walk on by and not show compassion? You see, compassion is not just saying, oh, I feel sorry for them. Compassion is actually doing something about it. Am I willing to do something about it? Am I willing to say, Lord, hey, if there are people in a country that don't have the gospel and you want me to go, Lord, I'm willing to go. You want me to go to Mozambique and help to try to help the Bartons and the Clowers there? You want me to go to some of these other countries in Africa where there's no missionaries? You want me to go to China? You want me to go to India? You want me to go to South America? Lord, there's a need. God, I'm willing to go. Lord, if you don't call me, I'm willing to help send. I'm willing to help these missionaries to go so that they can get the gospel. Why? Because I want to personally be involved in trying to help meet people's needs. Why? Because Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. We've been given a command by Jesus Christ to do the same thing. So we can claim to be, oh yes, I love Jesus all I want. We can say, oh yes, hey, I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Yes, absolutely. Let me ask you, are you showing compassion? Are you having to ask, you know, hey, you know, who is my neighbor? Do I really need to be concerned about people at my workplace? Do I really need to be concerned about my neighbors? Do I really need to be concerned about my family members that don't know the Lord? Hey, friend, if you really love the Lord, you're going to know who your neighbors are. And there ought to be a desire to be involved personally in showing the compassion and the love of Jesus Christ. What will you allow God this week to do through your heart and life? What are you going to allow God to do, right? You young people, think about it. You think, well, man, I've got my whole life ahead of me. What would you allow God to do through your lives? Would you be willing to say, Lord, whatever you want, I'm willing to do? I mean, sometimes we get this idea, well, I've got my job, and I got my family, and I got my whole life planned out. Wait a minute. What about what God would want you to do for him? What would you be willing to do for Jesus Christ? So that someone who is broken and desperate and in need and is dying could hear the gospel message and know that Jesus saves. And they could put their faith and trust in him. You see, it's pretty practical. We have this idea, oh, if it's not a foreign country, then I'm not a missionary. No, this is pretty practical stuff that Jesus says we're supposed to do. The question is, are we going to do it? He says, go and do thou likewise. Don't just do the minimum. Do the maximum. Just say, God, whatever you want, I'm willing. You tell me what to do, Lord. Hey, Lord, you tell me what to put on my faith promise card. You tell me who to go to. Lord, hey, you put somebody at the gas station across from me where I'm pumping gas, I'm going to give them a track. Lord, you show me what I can do, and I'm willing to do it because I want to go, and I want to do likewise. I want to help to meet the needs of someone so they can know Christ as their Savior. I wonder if their heads bowed and their eyes closed, no one looking about this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder this morning, would God speak to our hearts and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what would you have me to do? We really shouldn't have to ask who our neighbor is to show Christ to them. We have coworkers and family members and people in our neighborhood. They need somebody to show Christ. Are we willing to show Christ to them? There are friends, there are millions and millions of people all around the world that need the gospel. Are we willing to say, Lord, here am I, send me, I'll go. Lord, if you're not going to send me, I want to help to send, and I'll sacrifice to send so that these missionaries can go, so that people can hear about Jesus Christ. Look, let's not just see those that are lost and dying and injured and broken and just pass by. No. Let's truly show Jesus Christ through our lives. Let's have compassion. Let's get personally involved and do exactly what Jesus said. The one that showed mercy was the one who was truly the neighbor. Hey, Christian, we want to say we're Christians. Let's show mercy. Let's show compassion and do what the Lord has called us to do. Friend, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, we'd love to take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved, because that is the most important thing in your life. Father, I pray that you'd work in our hearts this morning. Lord, that we would be obedient to what you'd have for us, that we would, like this Samaritan man, Lord, it's not because somebody's done something nice to us, it's not because of how good they are, but Lord, just seeing the need of people without Jesus Christ that are broken, they're destitute, they're lost, they're on their way to hell. Lord, would you help us not to just be more concerned about rituals and not just about coming to church on Sunday and having a Bible, but Lord, truly showing Jesus Christ each and every day of our life. Father, I pray you'd help us in these things, that we would simply just be yielded to you for what you'd have for us. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're just going to stand quietly this morning. The piano's going to begin playing softly. Friend, if God's spoken to your heart, maybe this morning you need to come.